Chapter 19.
What if he ain't really sleeping?
Asked Denise, staring at the red-robed halfling on the ground.
What if this is all some sort of mind game he's playing at?
Randy squatted next to her. How do you figure?
Maybe he's just waiting for us to let down our guard so he can make a break for it.
So what if he is? Said Randy. It ain't that long of a walk back to the city, and I'll be carrying him the whole way. He won't have any opportunities to run.
And it didn't occur to you that maybe that's just what he wants?
Randy was confused.
A lift into town?
God damn it, Randy!
Denise poked Randy in the head with her pudgy finger.
You need to tell them two brain cells in your head that they need to get to fucking. You got an underpopulation problem going on in there.
Randy swiped away Denise's arm and stood up.
Did you have a point you was trying to make?
Suppose we walk him in through the gate and he starts a-hooting and a-hollering about how we done kidnapped him. What are we going to tell them guards?
I'll tell them the truth.
What? That we's from another universe and we need this little hobbit to send us back home? Randy, you wouldn't believe some of the shit I've heard some folks say just to get out of a speeding ticket. But none of it even compares to that steaming pile of horse shit.
That steaming pile of horse shit just happens to be the truth.
The truth don't matter if nobody believes it. It'll be his word against ours, and our word means jack shit. Trust me, Randy, you don't want to go to prison here. I can guarantee you those cells are full of scarier things than even the biggest, baddest nigger you ever. Ooh!
Even a paladin has his limits. Randy felt no remorse for punching Denise in the face.
What the fuck was that for?
Randy gave Denise a stern look.
That was a warning.
A warning? You about broke my goddamn nose.
I don't like that word.
I don't give a good goddamn what you like, you big fucking.
This time, all it took was a look that carried with it the promise of a second punch to the face. Randy felt something he'd never felt in his whole life. Power. It felt amazing to see Denise shut her mouth so abruptly. He suddenly understood how this feeling might corrupt someone. Use it sparingly. Maintain humility.
Denise, Randy said gently. Do you have a suggestion about how to proceed with Wister?
Denise nodded.
I'm listening.
Denise inhaled deeply before speaking.
The way I see it, we got two choices. We can either beat the truth out of him here in the forest, or...
I already told you we ain't.
Or,
said Denise, raising her hands up,
we make sure he's genuinely unconscious.
And how do you propose we do that?
Simple. We try to wake him up.
Denise sucked sloppily on one of her thick, grimy fingers, then pulled it out of her mouth. It was dripping with saliva.
Ain't nobody can fake sleep their way through a wet willy.
It was a disgusting proposition, to be sure, but ultimately not a harmful one. Randy nodded his consent. Denise plunged her finger into the halfling's ear and gave it a few good twists, provoking not even the slightest twitch of a reaction. Denise twisted more forcefully, like she was trying to bore into Wister's brain.
That's enough, said Randy.
Denise pulled her finger out. It was covered in a thick layer of orange gunk up to the first knuckle. She grimaced and hurriedly wiped it off on a tree trunk.
He's out cold, all right. No doubt about it.
Randy shook his head.
I could have told you that.
But don't you feel better knowing for sure?
I'll feel better when we get him past the city gate and into the Horse Head. How do you reckon we're going to do that?
We could tie each of his legs to one of our own, like we's doing a three-legged race. We make like he's drunk and he needs us to walk him home.
I'm twice the size of either of you, said Randy. Do you know how ridiculous that would look? I won't barely be able to take a proper step without tearing him apart at the crotch.
I'm just thinking out loud.
Randy snapped his fingers.
I got it. He can sit on your shoulders and we'll let his robes hang down over your face, so it looks like you're both just one normal-sized guy.
Denise shrugged.
Worth a shot, I reckon.
Over the course of the next hour, Randy and Denise made several attempts to make Wister and Denise look like one person. But Wister, being unconscious, wasn't very cooperative, and his robes were barely long enough to cover Denise's face. His feet and Denise's arms were all clearly visible. Eventually, Randy conceded to disrobing Wister entirely, which did little but satisfy Denise's morbid desire to check out his junk. After sitting the naked Wister atop Denise's shoulders, Randy attempted to wrap the robes around high enough to cover Denise's head and Wister's bottom, and low enough to cover Denise's arms and Wister's legs. Since Wister was more slender than Denise, Randy had to tie knots in the robe to keep it shut. Having done the best he was going to do, he stepped back to observe his handiwork.
"How do we look?" asked Denise, her voice muffled by the robes.
"Stop talking," said Randy. "I can see her lips moving under the fabric. It's breaking the illusion. Just give me a minute to take it in."
If he squinted and stretched his imagination to the point of tearing, he could almost convince himself that he was looking at a giant red squash, which for some reason had short, thick legs and the torso of a sleeping child. But to an observer who wasn't forcefully trying to delude himself, there would be no mistaking this for exactly what it was.
"Come on, man," said Denise. "It's hot in here. Is this disguise going to work or not?"
"It ain't going to work at all. Go on, get out of there."
Denise's struggle to free herself made it look like the giant squash child hybrid was about to give birth to a xenomorph. Randy couldn't help but laugh.
"Man, fuck you, Randy. This ain't funny. I can't hardly... Oh, shit!"
Wister slumped forward just beyond Denise's ability to stay balanced. They fell like a tall tree, slowly at first, but picking up enough momentum on the way down to plant both of their faces hard into the ground. That should have been even funnier, but it really looked painful.
"Denise!" cried Randy. "Are you okay?"
"No, I'm not fucking okay!"
Denise's shout was muffled this time by both the fabric and the ground, and it was funny again. Randy kept his laughter to himself as he walked toward them.
"You want some help?"
"Yes, goddammit! Get me the fuck out of... Oh, no!"
"What is it?"
"Oh, please, no!"
Denise's voice sounded desperate.
"Please stop! Oh, no!"
"Denise!"
cried Randy, trying frantically to unwind the cloth from around Denise and Wister.
"What's wrong?"
"Randy, where the fuck are you?"
Denise was flopping wildly and helplessly, like a fish on a dock.
"Get me out of here! He's pissing in my goddamn hair!"
"Stop squirming around and let me help you!"
Her squirming and flailing was making it difficult to undo the knots in the cloth.
"It's everywhere!"
Denise's voice cracked like she was about to cry.
"It's all I can taste or breathe!"
"Hang on, just about. There you go."
The robes loosened up, and Denise wiggled out of them as fast as she could. Once out, she greedily sucked in lungfuls of relatively urine-free air. Her hair was all wet and disheveled. She looked like she had just stepped out of the shower, even if she didn't smell like it.
"You all right?" asked Randy.
Denise sniffed.
"That was humiliating."
"Huh," said Randy. "You want to talk about humiliating? Try having your car keyed with the words fagmobile on the hood in the school parking lot."
Denise grinned.
"I remember that."
"Well, I'm so happy that I could finally bring a smile to your face."
"Come on, man. I ain't had nothing to do with keying your car. It was Johnny Ross done that."
Randy nodded.
"I had my suspicions. Still, you didn't have to be so happy about it. You don't know what that was like. I couldn't afford to get it painted. I had to go and scratch up the whole hood with a screwdriver just to make the words incomprehensible."
"I ain't smiling about that,"
said Denise, still clearly smiling.
"What then?"
"You remember when Johnny came back to school the following Monday, all banged up and missing a tooth?"
"Yeah," said Randy. "He looked like shit. They said he got hit by a car."
"Oh, he got hit all right, but it weren't no car that hit him."
Randy looked quizzically at Denise.
"Are you saying you did that?"
"Let me ask you something, Randy. Did Johnny Ross ever so much as give you a dirty look after that?"
Randy shook his head.
"That may have had something to do with him wanting to hang on to the rest of his teeth."
Randy stared deep into Denise's eyes.
"You did that? For me?"
"Sure,"
Denise scoffed.
"Fuck no. I just wanted to beat the shit out of somebody, and figured I might as well do a public service as well."
"Is that why you became a cop?"
Denise shrugged.
"Pretty much."
"You know something, Dennis? You got something like a heart in you."
Denise shrugged again, still caught up in her memory of beating the shit out of Johnny Ross.
"You should have seen him blubbering like a little bitch."
Randy felt he should be sharing Denise's glee, but he just wasn't feeling it.
"Come on, we need to get him back to the others."
Denise wiped some wet hair out of her face.
"What we really need is to get him a fucking diaper."
An idea struck Randy.
"If we was to swaddle him up in his robes, you reckon we could pass him off as a baby?"
"He ain't that small."
Randy squinted down at Wister.
"What if you don't count his legs below the knees?"
Denise clutched the handle of her axe, her eyes open wide like an excited puppy.
"You want us to chop his legs off?"
"What? No, I mean, we could bend his legs, disguise his size in the swaddling.
Denise shrugged.
It ain't as foolproof as actually changing his size, but it might work.
It was completely light out by the time Randy was as satisfied as he was going to be with the sleeping baby disguise. They probably would have been better off half-assing it and using the dark to their advantage. Wister's height was easy enough to disguise by letting his legs hang freely behind a curtain of robes, though it made carrying him awkward, and that still didn't fix the problem of the seemingly enormous baby head, which was only fixable by obscuring most of it.
What do you think? Randy asked Denise.
If we was just going to wrap him up completely, why'd we spend so long at it?
Randy was too tired for stupid questions.
Can he pass for a baby or not?
Sure, said Denise. Or a fish, or a log, or any number of things you might wrap up in cloth and carry around.
As they trudged back toward the city, the halfling seemed to grow heavier in Randy's fatigued arms. Finally, they left the forest and had the city walls in sight. There were a few people, carts and wagons coming and going through the north gate, and the guards didn't seem to be asking too many questions or looking anyone over very carefully. But what if they were spotted coming out of the woods? What business did anyone have walking out of the woods with a baby so early in the morning? This was wrong. It was all wrong. Randy stood up straight, shifting Wister's weight more comfortably in his arms.
What are you doing, Randy? Asked Denise. His feet sticking out of the side.
I can't go through with it, said Randy. I just can't bring myself to deceive those men or break the law.
Have you lost your goddamn mind? You bought enough weed for me to stuff a king-size mattress, and that's all while you was already on parole. Now ain't the time to get all uptight about the law.
I'm sorry, Denise. I don't expect you to understand. This is just something I have to do.
Randy uncovered Wister's face and walked briskly toward the north gate. Denise struggled to keep up with Randy.
What about all them folks back at the Horsehead who's wanting to go back home to their families?
The law is the law. It must be upheld.
Randy quickened his pace even further to escape Denise's perfectly reasonable arguments. A part of him knew that Denise was right and that he was acting like a pompous windbag. For the life of him, he couldn't figure out why he felt so compelled to risk what might be everyone's only chance to get back to their normal lives for ideals that he'd never given a shit about up to now.
Come on, Randy!
Denise called out after him.
Think this through! Don't be!
Hello? Sir? Excuse me?
Randy spoke loudly, both to drown out Denise's voice and to deny himself the means to reconsider. Panting, he stopped in front of the guards. The muscles in his upper arms burned.
Good morning, sir, said the guard on the left side of the gate. What troubles you?
The gate was wide open. Randy could just charge right through and lose this guy in the city's labyrinth of side streets. He shook the thought out of his mind and spoke before any further temptation had the chance to enter.
I found this halfling in the woods.
The guard glanced at his partner on the right side of the gate, then looked back at Randy.
Congratulations.
I suspect he ain't who he claims to be.
The guard squinted at him, his apparent confusion deepening.
What does he claim to be?
Well, he says his name is Wister, but...
Don't listen to him!
Denise had caught up faster than Randy had expected.
He's crazier than a rabid badger!
I ain't crazy, Denise, and that's not nice.
Denise ignored him, instead addressing the guard, who looked like he wished he was anywhere else.
Is he telling you wild stories about our friend Wister here?
Randy had been doing a poor job explaining himself. The guard seemed relieved to hear something that made sense.
You are acquainted with the halfling?
No, said Randy. Like I said, we found...
You bet your sweet ass we are,
said Denise.
My buddy Randy here gets confused sometimes on account of his mama dropping him on his head all the time when he was a baby.
That's just not true. I am...
Has he told you how Wister's not really a halfling, but a human trapped in a halfling's body?
No,
said the guard, looking quizzically at Randy. Randy lowered his head.
It ain't like what it sounds.
But that ain't all, said Denise. He thinks I'm a human too, and not only that, but a man.
It's the truth, cried Randy. You know it as well as I do. You're just trying to make me sound like a crazy person.
Denise shoved her breasts together and heaved them toward the guard.
Do these look like man titties to you, boy?
No, ma'am,
said the guard, holding his spear upright between himself and Denise. His partner on the other side of the gate stifled a laugh.
You like these big titties, boy? I bet you'd like to put that spear of yours between them.
Aye,
The guard suddenly looked back to Randy.
I don't understand what you want me to do. I can't arrest the sleeping halfling for lying to you about his name.
I don't want you to arrest him, said Randy.
Then what do you want?
I just want to pass through the gate.
The guard's fist trembled with frustration.
Then why are we having this conversation? Do you need directions?
He tilted his spear toward the open gate.
Walk 6 feet in that direction. You can't miss it.
Randy was all too aware of how ridiculous he was being, but couldn't account for a reason behind it. He mustered up what little dignity he had left, bowed his head slightly, and said,
Thank you.
He hefted Wister over his left shoulder to give his arms a rest. Then he and Denise passed through the gate.
What was that all about?
The left guard asked the right guard, nearly shouting to be heard from the other side of the gate.
Beats me,
the right guard shouted back. After a moment, he added,
Say, Ridley, would you ever fuck a dwarf?
Denise stopped walking. She had that ass-kicking look in her eyes.
Ha! Said Ridley. Certainly not that one. She smelled like piss.
You don't have to tell me. I could smell it from here.
Denise started to turn around, but Randy was ready. He stopped her with a hand on the shoulder.
You gotta ignore them, Denise.
I ain't gotta do shit.
Come on, man. They is officers of the law. You of all people gotta see what they're doing. Don't even tell me you never baited nobody into throwing the first punch just so you could legally beat the shit out of them.
Denise's face was like a volcano of rage and frustration, threatening to erupt at any moment, but for a tiny plug of reason and self-preservation instinct. She needed another nudge in the right direction.
You tell me honest, Denise, did it ever work out well for the other guy? Ever?
Denise shrugged Randy's hand off her shoulder and stomped further into the city.
Cocksucking rent-a-cop motherfuckers!
They ought to try the south gate next time,
said the right guard.
You know who would fuck a piss-soaked dwarf? Jennings!
Oh, you didn't hear? Said Ridley.
Hear what?
Jennings and Mosley got caught harassing some half-elf woman last night. They got caught by the commander himself.
The other guard whistled long and low.
I think I'd rather piss off Tim and Bloodsoul.